Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, here was our assignment from yesterday. Do or do not, there is no try. We either do or we don't, will or we won't, are or we aren't. It's as simple as that. The idea of try works well for egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate because it creates an illusion of some sort of middle ground or bridge that implies that while I did not, I really did want to, and my good intentions should count for more than my actual behavior. I'm trying not to yell at you. I'm trying to save money. I'm trying to eat a healthier diet. So if I'm trying, it's not my fault, and I really shouldn't be held responsible for my choices. Self-hate does beat me up for not doing what I should do, but it's really unfair because I'm trying. Today, just drop the self-hate and take a good look at how ego says you should be true to yourself, talks you out of being true to yourself, and then beats you for not being true to yourself. Record and listen.
Mm. Wow. That's a powerhouse.
That is
That's the whole deal. That's the whole deal right there. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see what happened, huh?
Yes. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate calling.
Hi,
this is
Kate.
Who?
Kate.
Kate. All right.
Yes.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, good morning. I did want to say one thing before I say what I saw, because I've realized this pattern when I call in. I don't get nervous on the line anymore, and then when I get on, there's
grabs you by the throat and the heart and starts shaking you like a leaf.
Yes, and it's this feeling of I have to start talking really fast so I'm not actually thinking about what I'm talking about, but just trying to get off the call.
Right.
As quickly as possible.
Yeah, just survive this. Just go unconscious and survive it. Yeah, and we
yes.
know from that beautiful description that that's the way egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate attempts to get people to live their entire life. Just go unconscious and survive it. Just go unconscious and survive it. We don't want to do that.
Yes. Yeah. And I guess so. I'm just saying that so that I can try to
Yeah, calm down and get here. Exactly. So, Kate, for years, when I started doing this work, you know, people see me now after having done it for 35 or 40 years, and they think it's easy for me, okay? And there's a way in which it is easy for me now because I've been doing it for 35 or 40 years. And in the beginning, I would be in this completely paralyzed. My face would turn bright red. I couldn't speak. It was just, I'm sweating like crazy. It's just hideous, right? And, oh, my gosh. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, I for a second, it left me why I was telling you that, aside from the fact that it's just fascinating. And so what I learned to do whenever I started a workshop is ask people to close their eyes, and I would do a centering with them. And so by the time I got finished with the centering, I was, you know, as close to center as I was probably going to get at that point. And so that's basically what you're doing, is talking about what's going on with you so that you're not hiding that over there somewhere and conditioning is using it to torture you. You know, you're talking about what it's doing to you. And in that process, you're not relating to it. You're looking at it and reporting on it, and you're stepping back from it and you're getting present. So it's a very, very good technique.
Yeah, and what I'm seeing is that it had sort of talked me into thinking, because I'm not sweating and panicking in the queue anymore, that I was good and everything was fine. But
I still was not being allowed to really be fully present for the time on the call.
Yes, yes. And that's practice, isn't it? We get through one thing and we realize, you know, it's kind of, we survived one attack and it says, oh, gosh, you can just relax now. You're fine. You've made it. And all it's doing is trying to get us to go unconscious so the next time it jumps on us, we don't see it coming. That's how practice
yeah.
is. Right? Yeah. That's
yeah.
very good.
I'm trying to walk away from these loud noises, but yeah, and I guess that yesterday's assignment was so similar to this because that's another a big place for me is this idea that do or do not, there is no try, and there's been a big story going on that I'm trying, and I'm trying to do it in a way, like anything that I'm making commitments to, I'm trying to do in a way that I didn't, sorry, it really has me a little tongue-tied, that I'm trying to do not in the way that I used to with conditioning, which was
mm-hmm.
sort of a cruel way of doing things. But it has me mm-hmm. talked into this place of the trying, and then it's never happening.
Oh, that's
some
it.
Of the bigger commitments.
That's it. You got it. That's it. Which is why I'm so excited about this particular assignment, because that's what's happened. So, you know, in 2013, we stopped feeling bad as a Sangha, which is wonderful.
Right.
But what conditioning has done to people with that is, okay, so I'll, you know, just go along with the same behaviors that conditioning talks a person into, and then don't feel bad.
Right. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's not a kindness to anybody, right? So the not feeling bad is meant to position us actually to choose the behaviors that we want for ourselves. So, you know, I'm going to quit smoking cigarettes. It, you know how now you have to really differentiate, right? I'm going to stop smoking tobacco cigarettes. And
yes.
And then I really want to do that. I really, really, really want to do that. And, of course, the campaign to get me to not stop is just huge. All the time I'm being told that I should and it's the right person thing to do, but I probably can't. And so I'm going along and I make it for 5 days and then I – you know, just run screaming into a store and buy a pack of cigarettes and start smoking them. And then what happens, of course, is I get so beaten that the conclusion is, you know, if I wasn't beaten like this when I was smoking, so I might as well just keep smoking. I'll try to quit, but I'm not going to do this, anything that's going to set off that self-hate. And what we're doing is getting rid of the self-hate so that I can just watch that process of how it talks me into smoking again when I don't want to and then beats me up for doing it. And I can only see that if it doesn't let me, if it doesn't get me with the beating. Because if I'm in feeling bad, I don't have any clarity. So
mm-hmm.
what you're seeing is the crucial piece of it.
I didn't catch the last thing. Is what I'm seeing is
the crucial piece of it.
Oh,
that the not feeling bad gives you, but I'll just talk about me. Gives me the strength that I need, the energy that I need to continue with my commitment. So if that energy isn't being siphoned off into feeling bad, then I'm right here. So you know, I just smoked that pack of cigarettes. Right? Okay. How did that happen? Where am I now? Okay, I've seen a lot in that process, right? And I'm not going to feel
mm-hmm.
bad. I'm just going right back to my commitment because, by God, I am going to quit smoking. I am. It's not going to win, and I'm not going to let it make me feel bad as a way of keeping me stuck in the cycle. I'm going to change the behavior because I love this human being.
Yes, I see that, and the story that I hear still is, but you don't know how to do that without feeling bad, because feeling bad is what generally has kept you in line, as it was in the past.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, that's why, at the risk of getting slightly political here, that's why capital punishment still exists in this country. That's why we have prisons that are more full of people than any developed nation on the earth, right? Because we deeply, 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 deeply are conditioned to believe that punishment makes us good. It doesn't. Punishment is what keeps the whole hateful system in place. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, no. What keeps you... what keeps you being a good person is that you're a good person. Not that you feel bad or that you're punished. That's And making that turn of seeing that, that's why we always bring in the little kid, right? So there's a 4-year-old Kate, right? How bad is she? How much does she need to be punished? How often does she need to be beaten? And we're going to say, well, never. And so how do we want to raise her? Well, with unconditional love. How do we want to make sure that she makes good decisions for herself? Well, she's going to respect and value and appreciate herself. Right? She's going to be offered clarity about how life works so that she can make good choices for herself. She's going to be taught that life is a process of learning, not of you should have known better and being beaten. That's
okay.
How we're going to raise her.
Yep. Yeah, I can see that.
What's required, just this one little thing, what's required of us is the real point of it. So you must become what you truly are, what you authentically are, unconditional love and acceptance, in order to be that for her. You have to become that. That's the gift in all of this. As far as I can tell,
mm-hmm.
That's the point of all of this.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Okay, now, something about earlier.
Oh, well, I was just going to ask, did you say recently that you had written an article about picking something that you really want to go up against and using that? Was that in Musings?
I think, well, first of all, to be clear, I don't write Musings. The marvelous Ashwini writes the Musings article. I think what you're referring to, and maybe Ashwini can help us out with this, because, Kate, my memory. When I decided to let go of the past, oh, my goodness, that's up to, you know, anything beyond 10 minutes from back from this moment. So I think what you're referring to is my last newsletter from the guy.
Newsletter, okay.
Yeah. Ashwini, is that correct?
Correct. The Musings that's coming out is on feeling bad, but your article
uh-huh.
is on
this one that we're talking about now.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I talked right over you. Somebody talk. Okay.
Well, I will check them both out.
I'll
check out the newsletter, and I'll check out the upcoming Musings, because I think they both will be perfectly
speak to you.
Helpful. Yes.
Yeah, I think so. And just remember, you're in a perfect place. You're right exactly where you need to be. Perfect.
Thank you so much. That's so good to remember. All right.
It is.
Thank you, Sherry.
It's important
Thank you,
for all
Anthony.
Of us. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kate.
Bye-bye.
Gosh, it's so good to go through it in order to understand all the nuances of the process.
Yes.
Because if we're not paying attention to that, then we don't see how the cycle continues.
That's right. That's right. And it is so, you know, for all of us, we just need to stop and take in the enormity or enormousness, however people like to do that, the magnitude of what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
It's extraordinary. Mm-hmm. We when we look at this, we realize why almost everybody is born and dies without ever confronting any of this. It's just
mm-hmm.
so huge.
Yeah.
And we're doing it.
Yep. so opposite to the conditioned way of looking at everything.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Who you got?
So here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dana in Alaska.
Well, hello.
Hi, Dana. How are you guys doing?
Just great. And yourself?
Good.
Good. What are you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing that that last call really, really was helpful. And it kind of answered my questions. But what my past is one of, you know, being fairly emotionally disturbed as a young person and coping with that by learning not to make any commitments because I couldn't keep them. And after years and years of hard work and a lot of help from the monastery, I'm not finding myself so often in the position of having to change commitments and have really blow up situations with it. But from the earlier part of the call, I'm seeing how much I'm still beating myself up for this, and that one of the areas
Dana,
that
Dana,
yeah?
I have to stop you. I can never Wait. Allow that language to go on. You do not beat yourself up.
Oh, yeah.
You don't. Yeah, you don't.
Right.
It's not you. It's that evil
Thank
system.
You.
Yeah, okay. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. And I know I'm still identified with it some of the time, but not all the time. And so, like, I guess the most recently situation came up where I kind of thought I had it down, you know, things were going smoothly, and then a thing came up where I changed a commitment, and my husband was really upset. Like, it really changed his, like, it put him out, you know, and he told me, and I you know, kind of like went back into the karma of, well, you know, identifying with ego as it beat me up. And so I'm just watching all of this, I guess. I had some questions
That's
when
right.
I pressed Star 6.
That's
yeah.
right. That's right. You're watching it. You're watching it. So, again, I know you know this, but I think we just can't be reminded too often. Every moment of life is a workshop. And
yeah.
it is for everybody, but we know that the point of this workshop is it's possible for us to end suffering in this lifetime. That's the difference. And so remembering that conditioning would say, if you were the right person, your husband would never be unhappy with you. Well, you know, maybe if you had happened to marry God or something, then that would be the case. But you probably married a mortal man, and he is as conditioned as the rest of us. So he's going to have his struggles and his stuff that he has to work with. And I'm not presenting this as a, so who cares about him or how he feels. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that that's part of the equation that we have to take in. The belief that we can be the perfect person and everybody will always be happy with us and everybody will always love us is just, it's a bunch of lies. Okay? So for you to watch what happens with you, what you project onto him, the beliefs and assumptions, how you feel, what the voices say, that's your workshop.
Right.
Yeah.
And
it's not a mistake that you're here. It's not a mistake that this is happening. This is your workshop.
Right. And that the belief is, or that the process is so deeply ingrained to keep feeling that I have to be perfect to everybody or I'm bad, that's like a really old, deep process to watch for, and how also that's coupled with looking for and needing approval, and that's the karma.
And of course, this is where I would say, first of all, I would ask, are you going to be in the email class? No pressure.
I could be.
It will definitely address your first statement there, that need to be perfect. And, of course, when we have that karma, whatever karma we have, the voices will tell us that we're looking for approval. And that's not the case. The voices are just looking for any sign of disapproval so they can beat you up and get out that whip and talk to you about how you failed and how you let your husband down and how you need to this and you need to that and what about this and what about that. Okay, so that process is a really important one to catch on to. Sometimes people will say, I'm a people pleaser, and my response always is, no, you're not. You're a people displeaser, because you're pleasing all the time, and it doesn't count. But as soon as somebody's displeased, conditioning jumps on that, like, all those images of white on rice and things like that.
Yes, and I think that people who have been sort of challenging the mainstream constructs all their life are very susceptible to not having been told that they were good when they believed the so-called wrong thing.
Yes. And, Dana, we all struggle with that because
yeah.
There's the person, my daughter being one of them, who, is an A-plus student everywhere all the time. But did that give her a message of, wow, you're a really good person? Not at all. Because that same process is looking for any little sign that you weren't A plus in that situation, and then again just, hop on it. So I don't think anybody got through childhood with the message that that you're really okay, you're really the right person, you're really doing the right thing. Now, they might have a story about that, but I doubt anybody in their heart of hearts really believes that. Because if we did, we would be satisfied. And when is the last person you met who's actually satisfied with life?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. No, right. Never.
Never.
So
never.
One more.
Yeah.
One more piece is that I think in with that whole system is the comparing to others, because that does seem to arise along with that system of I hurt others, I need to be perfect, and others are really doing it just fine and I'm not. So that's a thing I think constantly to be vigilant for.
And Dana, that's why that's an argument for the email class. It's an argument for going on retreat because as soon as we get around Sangha, especially I think, I don't know that this is true, but I think our Sangha, because people, we're all really honest about our need for practice. This is what the voices are saying. This is what I struggle with. This is what I'm up against. And we're in a room full of people and by golly, they all look fine,
right?
Yeah, and then they start talking about this stuff, and you think, well, no, that's wrong. They're not like that. That's not true. They shouldn't believe that. And we have that growing sense of, this is the human condition. This is true for all of us, and which, to me, the importance of that, not only does it begin to free us from believing that crapola, but it gives us a lot more sympathy and compassion for other people, because no matter how together they look, we know that if we got in that situation and we had that kind of conversation, they'd be talking about the same thing we're talking about.
Yes, and the strength that Project Joy is giving to all of us is just a huge testament to that.
Yeah.
I could say everybody's growing and letting go all over the place.
Yes. I do. All over the place. I love that image. Yeah. A big offloading of self-hate is going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
all right.
Thank you.
Take
care of her, okay?
Yeah. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dana. Wow, there was so much in that, Sherry, that I won't even attempt to reflect it. And hope to squeeze in another caller here. So here you go.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Catherine from St. Louis.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi, Sherry. Boy, this is a good one. I was looking at the doing. I could start with, who's deciding I need to do? that particular
yes.
thing. I mean, you know, it's taking it all
yes.
the way back to what's going on with that, and I feel like there's often there's an authentic I want to do this thing to do it. And conditioning
right.
takes that over with it and changes
That's
it into, you have to do this to be the right person,
yes.
and this is how it has to look, and you have to have this outcome.
That's it. You nailed it. That's it exactly. And it's so important because it really does take it. So, you know, the Christians talk about the still small voice, okay? And it takes a really, really long time to hear that still small voice. So sometimes people will say in group or even on these calls, you know, well, I'm speaking because the voices tell me not to. And
mm-hmm.
and what they have missed is the impulse from the heart to want to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly as you just said, there's that still small voice, there's the impulse from the heart, from authenticity to participate, and then the voices just hop on and go mm-hmm. in the direction of either, nope, you can't say anything because blah, 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 or yes, you do need to say something, and it needs to be this and this and this, and you need to sound like this and this and this, and people need to respond and this and this and this, and all of that stuff comes after the direct guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Intelligence animating you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. And I had an experience last night with, I was in the queue for open air. And so I had a question, and it was about turning to authentic nature and your article in the newsletter. and who are you listening to? And I was looking at that, and the call was really, really helpful. It was getting toward the end of the call, or the show, rather. And I had an image of myself. I was right there in that space of really wanting to know authentic nature and to live from that. And I had this brief, it was like a little YouTube video in my head of in the morning getting up, walking into the kitchen with the cat escorting me, feeding the cat, making my coffee, and then it stopped. And the whole thing said to me, just get up and live your life, chop wood, carry water, just without any conversation, without the voices. And so I was thinking authentic nature is something like really super mysterious and super mystical and you know, I mean, that's I was just identified, you know, looking for, you know, turning to conditioning to tell me what authentic nature is.
Yes, yes. Instead of authentic nature gets you out of bed, wakes you up in the morning. Authentic nature walks you to the kitchen. Authentic nature feeds the cat. Authentic nature makes you coffee. Authentic nature, right.
Exactly.
That's what's doing everything. That's what's doing everything. And the conversation is after the fact. Just
mm-hmm.
like a little kid. Ego's going, I did that, I did that, I did that, I did that. Well, no, ego didn't do that. All
mm-hmm.
ego did is be this negative conversation that takes the joy out of life. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever wonder how people make it without awareness practice? When I think,
Cameron,
and I know you've mentioned prior generations
all the time.
And yeah,
all
just,
the time.
How,
I wonder
how did my mother do that? She never got even
That's
therapy.
Right.
You know, she didn't
That's
have,
right.
And she just, you know, worked, yeah, and lived her whole life.
Oh, I think about it all the time. I think about it all the time. You know, anytime you encounter the news. Right? And somebody's entire family is killed or, you know, just the awful stuff that's happening to people around the world all the time. And I think, how do they do it?
you know, how do they get up the next day and walk to the kitchen and feed the cat and make the coffee? You know, it's so impressive seems like such a weak word, but talk about admiration and respect for people and a desire to help them. You know, a desire to make their lives easier. You know the Buddhist kind of thing of may all beings in suffering, may all beings be happy, may all beings find peace. And just to live in that prayer because we realize how hard it is for people.
How hard it is for me, and I have awareness practice.
That's right.
Yeah,
I saw a video that I want to watch again and find out what this young woman's name is. You may have seen it too. The young gal who was born with, I can't even remember what the disease is she was born with. Cystic fibrosis. And she, can you remember what her name is or what that?
I can't remember the name.
Sugar something. Yeah, and so I'll find it for tomorrow because everybody ought to watch it. Truly, everybody in the world ought to get to know this young woman and put together what we're talking about, what's possible for us in practice, what's possible for us when life circumstances are really not what anybody would desire. I'm right there with you, Catherine. Deep gratitude, huh?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Catherine. Wow, what a powerful show, Sherry. And we're at the end of it.
I know. It flies, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Well, so here's our assignment for today. I respectfully decline the invitation to join your hallucination. It would be easy to assume the author was speaking of society in general or the world at large. That would be in keeping with the Buddha's statement that society is insane. For our purposes, it might be more helpful to see the invitation being declined as the one being offered incessantly by the delusion that is egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hate. We don't need to fight with the illusion, we can simply respectfully decline to engage with it. Today, each time you find yourself engaging with the voices in conditioned mind, smile, say thank you, and turn attention to the gratitude you feel for knowing a kinder, more loving way. Record and listen.
Wow. I'm excited.
Very excited.
Ready. Thank you so much, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks to everybody. Huh? Yeah. Treasure yourself. Go happy.